This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday morning, all. We are the Junks coming to you on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, Monumental Sports Network. On the go on the Odyssey app. If you haven't downloaded that yet, it's free. Put it on your phone. Take us with you on the go. Maybe during your vacations. You don't want to miss the Junks at any point. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technicians. Go to cropmetcalf.com to get more details on how you can become one of those if you are that handy. Like the Crop Metcalf technician that came in and fixed my leak and installed my dishwasher last week. Thank you very much to him.
Good
peeps. I believe his name was Milos. I'm 99% sure that was his name. So thank you to Crop Metcalf. They always treat the junks right. Got a four-man junk show. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at Cakes Flops on your Instagram. I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
Yep, you got four of us.
Mm-hmm. John Paul Flame.
Morning.
Hello. And Eric Bickle.
Good morning. How are you, Ricky? Big day today.
It is. Caps take the ice for game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals at Capital One Arena. The Carolina Hurricanes are in town. They both made relatively easy work of their first-round opponents. The Caps took down Montreal in five. Carolina takes down the New Jersey Devils in five games as well. Now they will battle it out for the chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a big one.
This is a massive.
I was listening to an interview on Grant and Danny's show, radio host from Carolina, and he was talking about the strengths and weaknesses of Carolina.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the interview, got me worried about Carolina, which they need to worry about Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're the favorite, but the team you really should worry about is Florida.
He didn't even mention the Caps.
It was just at the end. He was saying that both teams need to worry about Florida. That Florida, according to him, the best team by far.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, they lost game one too last night.
You worry about them down the road.
Yeah.
You got to worry about your opponent that's in your building in about 13 hours. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. 7 o'clock puck drop.
It just seems unfair that it's such a challenging second series after we had such a great regular season.
Yeah,
this kind of almost seems a little unfair.
That's how it works. It should get
tougher.
You got
the best teams.
It should get tougher, but I feel like this might, maybe it's not the toughest. Maybe Florida is the toughest. I feel like it's a really tough matchup for them.
It is.
In the second round.
I'm terrified of Carolina.
It's the division opponent. They've seen them, I think it was four matchups during the regular season. They split.
Yeah.
They definitely know each other very well.
Yeah.
But I'm still terrified of them.
Yeah. I'm always scared, but I'm really scared this time. But you know what? Get off to a great start. That'll soothe everything. The great thing about hockey is, though, the dynamics just can change from game to game. So, can't get ahead of ourselves. Got to let it play out. If we lose game one, we're going to feel terrible. But if we win game two, we're going to feel like we're right back in it. So,
I just feel like game one is just huge, though. Just to get the mojo.
I kind of agree. But their whole goal is, of course, they just want to win one. Right? Generally speaking.
Yeah.
That's always the goal for the road team. Yeah. Just come in, grab a split. If you get one game, you've tilted home ice in your favor.
Right. Snatched home ice from us.
Yeah.
Let's just do what we did in Montreal. Let's win both games on the home ice. Drop one there. That's standard NHL first round hockey.
Do you know that Carolina's been to the playoffs 7 straight years?
I mean, I don't pay attention to them, so no. I mean, if you say that,
I'm just
you.
Well, I'm just looking it up.
Yeah.
And so, how have they fared?
Well, see, last year they lost in the second round to the Rangers. The year before that, lost to the conference finals to the Panthers. Before that, lost in the second round to the Rangers. Second round to the Lightning. First round to the Bruins. Conference finals to the Bruins. So, I mean, they've...
They've had some success, but they haven't made it to the Stanley Cup final. Is what you're telling me
not
in the
recently.
7-year
no, not
run.
In this,
not in the 7-year run, but they have before. I mean, they won the cup back in 06. Was it 06?
But they've made it to the Final Four twice.
Yeah. I mean, they've been really, really good the last 7 years.
It did irrationally anger me for, I think, a good while that the Hurricanes won a Stanley Cup before the Caps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been around for a while because they used to be the Hartford Whalers, and they just moved south. So that franchise has been around for a while, but it always got under my skin that they got to the Cup a good amount of years before the Capitals did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good amount of disdain between these two teams. I mean, was it the last meeting where they racked up over 100 penalty minutes? I think it was.
Yeah,
I think it was their last meeting where tempers were flaring, guys were fighting all over the ice. So this should be a pretty action-packed, chippy, rough physical series.
And who's their goalie?
They are going with Frederik Andersen. I think
right.
He appeared in 4 of the 5 games. He got dinged up in one of those matchups against New Jersey. He missed 1 of the 5 games, but he performed very well in that four-game stretch.
How did he perform in the regular season?
He overperformed in the playoffs compared to his regular season numbers.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully the Caps,
come back to
with
reality,
their
high-octane
offense, can ding him early in the series. That would be nice. That would be good to see.
Right.
That would be encouraging.
Any other,
his GAA in the regular season was 250, but he didn't play as many games as
the other guy,
the Russian.
Okay. Are there other
Kolchakov
for the former Caps other than Orlov on this team, Cakes?
I'm not sure if there's a lot of
the only name
there.
That I recognize from Washington. Of course, is Dmitry Orlov, longtime defenseman,
longtime Cap.
Yeah,
that's Ovi's guy.
I don't recognize
their
any
boys.
For some reason, I recognize Seth Jarvis's name and Jordan Staal.
Jordan Staal's been around forever. You should recognize Aho, one of their best all-around players.
I know, he's got the highest point, but I honestly don't recognize the name.
And Svechnikov, the dude who Ovi throttled in the playoff series back in 2019.
Pummeled that guy.
Whereas Svechnikov bit off more than he could chew against his fellow Russian.
They actually fought?
Oh, yeah. Ovi did this to him. He did this.
Put him out.
Said, go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Go to sleep, young buck.
Vaguely remember it, but not really.
Put him to sleep right there, right in the middle of the ice.
Do you feel like this series will be as chippy as the Montreal series? Because Montreal, they were just a bunch of instigators.
I think it might be more so because these are division opponents.
Right.
These are Metropolitan Division
and their
rivals.
Their coach is such a hard ass.
Yeah, Brind'Amour.
You got to imagine they take on his personality.
Brind'Amour, right?
Rod Brind'Amour. Yep.
Yeah, well, it's a big one.
It's a big one. I'm a little bit frustrated about it. My daughter was lamenting it because, she has volleyball right in the middle of this. So I'll be out there. I guess I'll be watching on my phone.
Wow.
It's just,
that sucks.
It's how it has to be.
Well, what time will you get home?
I won't be home until 9.
9? Oh, yeah. You'll get home basically third period.
Early to mid-third period.
Yeah. I just have to follow my phone. It is what it is. Not ideal.
And, of course, you can listen to John Walton on the call as you're driving from Virginia back to MD.
Yep.
Right here on 106.7 The Fan.
It is remarkable. We've talked about it a million times, how good these announcers are. John Walton is excellent, obviously, and he has to really be on it. But, just watching Joe B, I was particularly keened in the last round. Just how quickly he identifies every single player that touches the puck. And, how the hell do you do that?
He's a pro's pro. He's been doing it forever.
I know.
He's just remarkably skilled at what he does.
So I'm a lot more familiar with Joe B's work than I am John's. I mean, obviously, we play John Walton's calls all the time. Certainly aware of it. But I watch him
more
than I listen to him.
Yeah.
And So I was really honed in on it, and I was just trying to imagine myself doing it. I've never fancied myself a play-by-play guy. I know my strengths in life. That ain't one. But I just tried to put myself in his shoes, and I was like, this guy's unbelievable.
And it's so seamless and smooth and professional all the time.
Yeah.
It's so remarkably consistent.
And then you know, and I'm always then also blown away by, I've said it before, but Lachlan's immediate ability to understand exactly what happened. Oh, I think the puck hit the back of the post, and then it hit his skate, then it went back.
He knows it all.
He recognizes it immediately.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like a hockey savant. I mean, he played the sport. He's been down on the ice before. He brings that experience and skill and intellect into the booth.
Yeah. He could break it down like why a goal happened immediately.
He's great analytically. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's got good zingers. Yeah. I mean, he's just has everything.
Well, the other thing that amazes me about the play-by-play guy, specifically Joe B, is Joe B knows all the guys
on the opposing team.
On the opposing team when they have the puck.
That's what I'm saying.
So he's memorized the names with the numbers, the uniform numbers.
And he identifies it immediately.
And he knows how to pronounce all of them. And they're all European or Russian.
Yes. It's an impossible job.
He's unbelievable at that.
An impossible job.
I mean, I'm sure most team play-by-play guys are the same way, but you know, we cater to Joe B.
Right.
But he knows exactly who has the puck. You can barely see the puck on the ice.
I recommend this.
I agree 100%.
I recommend this highly. Just turn down the ESPN broadcast and turn up John Walton on 106.7 The Fan.
It's hard
tonight.
To sync it up sometimes, right?
It may be, but I'm at least going to try it. I'm going to attempt it.
Yeah.
Because there's no Joe B. and Locker, obviously, because ESPN takes over the national call once you get into the second round and beyond.
Right. I mean, you can do but it takes a little doing.
Hurricanes did on the road this year. They were 16-25, essentially.
Yeah. Good. Good. Kind of sorry.
Not great. Right. I mean, not as good as the Caps were on the road. Caps were 25-16 on the road.
Right, Carolina's minus 125 on the money line. Well, if you like the Caps tonight, you get plus 105. You get a slight plus number at home.
And why have people justified it?
I don't know what the justification is for the Hurricanes being
the overall
favorite in
this
series.
Definitely a faster team.
So the younger, faster, I assume, and more experienced come playoffs.
Yeah.
Of recent time.
Probably that. Because, you know, like we've talked about, they've made the playoffs 7 straight years.
A little more playoff tested.
You know, but I feel like, don't we have the better goalie?
Yes.
We certainly do statistically.
I mean, if Logan Thompson plays the way he did in the first round, the Caps are going to be tough to beat.
Look, just because Carolina's favored, that doesn't mean anything.
Not that worried about it.
It doesn't mean that much. And I like being the underdog. Other than it means you're in for an effing challenge.
Yes.
Like, this is nothing you could just say, oh, we were better than the regular
season. Well,
look,
Carolina finished second in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
I like
just because they're favored, Washington could easily win this series. Hopefully they do. I'm doing the emotional hedge bet, like I always do.
When we played the Lions.
Doing it for each game and for the series.
When we smoked them, the Lions were favored, right?
Lions were definitely favored. That was at home.
Right. Yeah. It definitely, you know, underdogs win.
Yep. All right, we'll be talking lots of Caps Canes throughout the show today. And a bit later in the 8 and 9 o'clock hour, we will have pairs of tickets to give away to Game 2 at Capital One Arena on Thursday night. So be sure to keep listening to the Junks here on The Fan. We'll be talking a lot of Caps on the show today. Alan May will join us. Of course, he's from Monumental Sports Network. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. All of our Caps talk brought to you by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com right now. Let's get into the Junkies sports page. Tell you what happened in the world of sports last night, NHL and NBA playoffs ongoing.
Sports page driven by my favorite team, the all-new Molloy Chevrolet of Alexandria, where they've got huge spring incentives. It means lower prices on your favorite models. So head on over. Ask for my guy, Josh Cochran. He's the GM. And just like I did, make a Molloy. Molloy.com. So that's my new partner.
Very good.
Just got a lot on my mind. Outside of the show,
okay.
My phone is acting weird.
It is acting kind of weird.
This morning,
I was a little janky.
It was working fine last night and even in the middle of the night because my daughter had her flight canceled from Nashville because of the storms.
Right.
So she had to get a hotel room with her friends, and she took a 6 a.m. flight, or I think it was a 6 a.m. flight from Nashville into D.C. today. But when I turned my when I looked at my phone this morning, it said emergency calls only in the left-hand corner. See that where it's scrolling? So I thought, oh geez, there's something wrong with my service. It, you know, they didn't get payment. But then I tried calling people, and the calls are going through. I tried texting people; the texts are going through. Bickle's saying this is because my memory's all.
I think your memory's a little jammed up, and the phone is just going slow.
This is weird, man.
Realizing it all.
So. Yeah. I guess I got to go by the AT&T store and let them figure it out.
You need some tech help.
Are you like me, though, that have you have like five iterations of a Samsung's latest phone? Like, I have an old Samsung.
This is an S24. This is pretty new.
Oh, that's pretty new.
I think this might be the newest.
No.
Was there a new one after that? I got it about a year ago.
I think they have an S25, but you might be right. You might have the newest.
Yeah. And then I was walking up the stair. I had my HP laptop with me last night. I was walking up the stairs.
Now that's old.
The HP?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's not this one?
No, this is I have two. This is a different one.
You have multiple HPs.
This one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I wasn't carrying this one. I was carrying my other one that I usually bring here.
Right.
And I slipped going up the steps.
Oh.
And I dropped my HP on the steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Won't work. Won't turn on.
Product.
Won't turn on. Everything's going wrong with me.
They look to be on.
No, my other one.
Hold on.
This is my second one. My other one that's not working is at home.
Oh, you have three.
Yeah,
this is the one. This is the ancient.
That's the OG.
This is ancient.
You have more computers than NASA.
This is my wife. Yeah. My wife uses this one. And mine that I usually bring here is Dunsky's. It won't turn on. So I got to figure out. I got to take it somewhere to get repaired.
if it can
be repaired.
Here's what you do. You throw that one in the trash.
Dude, I
just
got it like a year ago.
Oh, it's okay.
It's like $1,000.
Okay, well, then it should still be under warranty. Or maybe did you buy
I bought it at Best Buy.
Did you buy a warranty?
I'm pretty sure, but I don't know. It could have been over a year ago. I have no
idea. I always wrestle with buying warranties at this point.
I never buy them.
Probably. It depends on what it is. If it's something big and silly, like a refrigerator or a dishwasher, I just bought one of those and I did buy the warranty. But don't try to sell me a warranty on $50 or $100 item. That's the biggest joke ever.
Well, I'll tell you what I will never get again is warranty on furniture.
Right.
Because we bought this huge sectional and one part of the sectional started to break where the wood started to come out. They came out like two or three times. They said they would give like half the money back for the piece because they couldn't fix it. Or they would give us a piece which didn't even fit because it's the end piece. I don't know what you call it, the lounge chair at the end.
Mm.
So now I just put a blanket over it.
Yeah.
There's always a blanket over it.
Because what's wrong with it?
They won't fix it.
But what is wrong with it again?
There's a piece of wood in the frame that is broken through the fabric.
Yeah. Oh, so it looks hurting.
Not when the blanket's on top of it.
So you can't sit on
it. Not when it's camouflaged.
No, you can sit on it.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm having.
Just don't sit on the top of the.
I'm having technical difficulties with the phone and with the HP, if anybody can help me.
And you have anxiety, I can tell, about your daughter and travel.
Yeah, I'm anxious and all kinds of crap on my mind.
You want to take a day? Go, just take a day. Go. Get out of here.
Well, next week is graduation. I'll be taking some days. Then I've got it. Oh, I didn't tell you guys this. I have a skin cancer procedure.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. This guy has skin cancer.
Right.
Well, that's
it's called basal cell carcinoma.
That's a pretty big revelation. They just throw
I probably shouldn't be talking about it, but.
Well, you had the Band-Aid a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they did a biopsy and came back positive.
You had a bandage?
So what do they have to do?
Bandages. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, of course.
What do they have to do?
They got
to
go in and
dig it out.
Dig in there and go. And so they go in there and they dig in there and then they re-biopsy it to see if they got it all. If they didn't, they got to go back in.
Right.
It could take 4 hours.
Oof.
You don't seem that concerned about it.
Oh, I am. It's up here. It's in my head.
It's in his headspace.
Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Today's not a good day.
I think that they'll be on top of it.
I mean, my dermatologist is legit. She's got a great reputation, but I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. So my day is going like the Celtics night last night. Because the
good
Celtics
sports comp.
The Celtics game one Eastern Conference semifinals against the Knicks, the Knickerbockers. They're playing at home. They're up 20. I watched some of the first quarter. And apparently the second quarter the Celtics were just rocking them. But then I got up this morning to look at the story and the numbers. The Celtics took a record 63s. No. It's an NBA playoff record. And they also missed an NBA playoff record, 45 of them. They went 15 for 60. I don't know how that's possible from the Celtics.
Well, number one, Jaylen Brown has some knee issues.
He does.
So he's not getting lift on his shots. And I think that the Knicks, who this year haven't played as good defense as a typical Tom Thibodeau team, they ramped it up. The playoffs have gotten a lot more physical.
Yeah.
You know, they said that there's no hand checking. There's definitely hand checking.
Yeah.
And credit to the Knicks, because I watched it early, then it was kind of bedtime and got away from the game. And then I tuned in and was like, whoa, this is a game.
Well, the Celtics were lucky that it even got to overtime because Brunson missed the bunny at the end.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, just the easy shot off the glass that he probably makes 80 or 90% of the time.
But it was a really nice play. But OG Anunoby put up 29 points. Brunson had 29. And then Mikal Bridges was big in the overtime. Like, you look at his numbers, it's not a big deal, but he made good defensive plays. Karl-Anthony Towns didn't have a great game, but he had a tip in overtime. So, huge win. Nobody expected that.
Most people believe
the Celtics roll. Now, little footnote on the Celtics. They played the majority of the game without Porzingis because he was ill.
I saw that.
Well, his box score was 13 minutes, zero.
He clearly
points.
Wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, of course.
But it wasn't just Brown. I mean, Brown was 1 for 10 from three. But I mean, Tatum and Derek White combined were 9 for 31. I mean, the entire team sucked from three.
That's how they play. But think of it this way: they were that bad from three, and they still almost won.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of shocking that they lost game one at home after being up 20. So they lose. They're down 1-0. And then the Denver Nuggets, they go on the road. OKC and Boston were pretty big favorites just to win on the money line in games one at home. OKC lost 121 to 119. They had a three-point lead late, I think with about 11 seconds left. Holmgren was on the line. He got fouled. Clank, clank, missed both free throws. And then Denver comes down, and Aaron Gordon hits a three. They win by two on the road. So the Knicks win in overtime by three on the road. The Nuggets win by two after the huge three.
And remember, the Pacers won, so all the road teams have won game one so far.
Yep.
You have Golden State. I watched the entire Nuggets game. Awesome game. Jokic finishes with 42 points and 22 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who is an underrated X-factor star for the Nuggets? It's Russell Westbrook. So Russell Westbrook can miss bunnies and have terrible turnovers, but he made some huge plays, and he had the assist on the Aaron Gordon three, which was the game winner. He pushed it up, made the right play, got Chet to commit in, so he gives Aaron Gordon an open look on the three. Gordon knocks it down, so that's his second game winner of the playoffs, because, of course, he had the dunk in the first round, which was with like 0.1 seconds left. Just an awesome, awesome game, because OKC was pretty much up by 10, it seemed like, the whole game. And then Denver just kind of chipped away, hung in there. Jokic finished with 18 points in the fourth quarter. So he took over in the fourth quarter.
I mean, they couldn't keep him off the boards. He was just unbelievable.
And
42 and 22.
Then Aaron Gordon makes a huge shot. But Russell Westbrook, I really liked him when he was here in Washington.
You were his biggest fan when he was here.
I was.
Have you turned on him?
By the way, he's old, too. He's 36. Now, he's not LeBron old, but he's old.
He's 36, yeah.
Like, and for a guard, just running up and down the court all the time, like, it's pretty impressive.
What was funny, in game seven against the Clippers, you know, they just rolled the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
When he had that dunk late and he was hanging on the rim.
Yeah, he didn't mind taking the technical.
He took the tech, and he just looked at the crowd, and he goes, I don't give an F.
I thought he said, get the F out of here or something.
I think he said, I don't give an F about the tech.
I like it when NBA players taunt the opposing crowd. Like, if Steph just does the I'm putting you to sleep bit, or you just taunt the crowd. Like, when you own the crowd, that's a great moment.
Look, it's a huge series, helpless. I think. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to probably win the MVP over Jokic, but it's a huge series. I think more for Shai to prove that he is, look, he's a top player for sure, but to prove that he's worthy of the MVP, because they're favored by a lot over the Denver Nuggets. Their personnel, they're way deeper. They play 10 guys.
Yeah.
Denver basically plays six.
Yeah, they look, it's kind of a stunner that both that Cleveland, Boston, and OKC all lost game one.
But
at home.
Chet Holmgren's a 75% free throw shooter. Now, if he hits one out of two, the three-pointer still wins the game.
Yeah.
But they did something strategically, which was maybe a lot. So they're up by three with 13 seconds left, and they began fouling. So their philosophy is foul, which makes sense, but usually you don't do it with that much time left. So they fouled. Denver hits two free throws. Then they inbound the ball, OKC, to Shai, who gets a layup. They foul again. Denver hits two free throws. Denver then fouls, and then Chet misses the free throws. So it was a lot of possessions in the last
possessions and substitutions.
I love that when the coaching and all of that comes into play.
I think it kind of backfired on OKC. And after the game, I was watching, Kenny Smith was like, with 8 seconds or less left, then you foul up three, but with 13 seconds left, you don't necessarily need to start that process.
So you're in the conference semifinals in both the NBA playoffs and, of course, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night, Florida, who is, I believe, Vegas odds has Florida to win the Stanley Cup. And they were playing at Toronto last night, game one, lost that game 5-4. They were trailing 3-1 after one, 4-1 after two. Came back, they scored three in the third, including one where they pulled their goalie. So I think they were down 5-3, and they scored late after they pulled their goalie. But they lose 5-4. And, of course, we talked about it. You got a huge game one tonight in Washington, Carolina, and the Caps. That game will tip at 7 on ESPN. At 9:30, Edmonton is at Vegas for game one of that series. So you got some. Now it gets real now.
Yeah.
We were kind of tired of the first round.
Now you're in the semis.
And a lot of the blowouts.
Yeah.
So now you got the Caps. How are you feeling about this game? Game one.
I feel pretty good. I think the Caps should be well rested. So should the Hurricanes, because both teams got through in five games. I feel pretty confident.
Okay.
Feel pretty good. Now, if Hurricanes come in and smoke the Caps 4-2, I'm not going to feel great tomorrow. I'm not going to be in the best of moods.
You also have a doubleheader in baseball today for the Nats, because their game was rained out. Big thunder boomers last night. I assume it came through your area as well.
Just assaulted by rain, too.
Yeah. So that postponed game one. So today, game one of the doubleheader against Cleveland will be at 3:35. Ortiz will go for Cleveland. Jake Irvin will go for the Nats. Second game, roughly around 7:30.
And of course, you can listen to the Nats today on Team 980, because the Caps game will be on the mothership 106.7 The Fan.
Ah, very good.
Second game,
note.
It'll be Blake Lively. I said Blake Lively. Ben Lively. Blake Lively's going to pitch today. Ben Lively will go against Brad Lord. So a doubleheader for the Nats against Cleveland, if you're paying any attention.
Has anybody seen Another Simple Favor?
No. I don't even know what that is.
Well, Simple Favor was a pretty good movie, which I have no recollection of, but I remember
I didn't see the first one.
With Blake Lively.
That's what the controversy with Lively and the co-star, correct?
Hold on. So they made a sequel to the original?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think it's just on streaming.
Okay. I couldn't tell you one thing about it.
Was that the controversy where she accused the co-star of sexual harassment?
I'm not sure if it's that movie. With Baldoni?
Justin Baldoni.
No, that's
the guy's
not a
name.
Simple Favor.
That was It Ends With Us.
Oh, It Ends With Us.
Ends With Us. Gotcha. Yeah.
Didn't see that either.
Simple Favor was with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick.
Ah, gotcha. Like yesterday / last night in baseball, the Yankees lose to the Padres. Dodgers beat the Marlins 7-4. Otani hit number 9. Braves shut out the Reds.
Royals. Saw the highlight of his home run. I think they might have said it was the fastest miles per hour on a home run this season.
Really?
I mean, it was just a rocket. It was a low
exit velocity.
Yeah. It was kind of like a low liner that barely went over the fence.
So it had to have been like over like 120 high. Or something.
Yeah, it was
the boys
a rocket.
Are up there. I'll check. The Nats game was rained out?
Yep.
Or did they get it in?
Rained out.
No, it was postponed, Doubleheader today.
At one point, I was just trying to find something to watch last night that I was interested in, and I saw the game, and I click it on, and I'm like, okay, I got this in the background. And then I look
when up. When did you realize it was not
Didn't you see the tarp
game?
On the field?
No, they were playing baseball on my screen, okay? Because you know how they show another game? So they're showing that the Indians, the Guardians, and the Nats. I look up, and it's freaking Davey Johnson managing. And I went, oh, my God, I've literally had this on for 5 minutes without really paying attention.
But usually they have
background.
Usually have a double screen, then they show you the tarp on the field.
I didn't see that.
Pretty sure they do that.
Or if it's an old game, they have like a little thing
rain
that says,
delay.
Or, you know, this is not live, recorded.
It'll say rain delay.
I'm not a stupid person. I had the game on for a couple minutes. I finally looked up to concentrate.
Mm.
By the way, also, people very triggered by my, you know, hello, I am an entertainer. I am just trying to be provocative. My Dylan Cruz take.
Okay.
People very triggered by it.
Oh, really?
Baseball
people are coming after you?
So they're very pissed?
Yeah, very triggered. How dare you? I thought one guy made one good point, though. Listen, of course it's early. I'm not writing the guy off. I'm just saying, in my opinion, doesn't look like a superstar. But of course I could be wrong. I'm just an idiot. I know nothing. It's just my blink reaction to how his career started last year, spring this year, early start this year, but whatever. The one point that the guy did make is, and we see this in other areas, is a guy like you would have written off Derek Jeter after he had 55 errors in his rookie season and say he could never play shortstop. So, good point.
Solid point.
Tip my cap to you. Good point.
Right.
Most of your other points, whatever. Mm. The guy's still hitting, you know, .120 or whatever he's hitting.
I think it's higher than that, but
it's like a .190.
Yeah.
That's after his
ish.
Recent heater.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, people very triggered by it. I wanted to see what the Nats were doing. I put it on. When I finally lock in on it, I see Davey Johnson. And by the way, Davey looked great. So it must have been like freaking 10 years old.
I'll never forget. We were in Florida checking in to like a car rental line. I don't know if this is on a Junk's trip or a personal trip.
Yeah.
And it had to be a Junk's trip because I mentioned we were there to watch the Nats. And a guy told me he hated Davey Johnson's guts. He just despised Davey Johnson.
Right.
He had it in for him.
No, it was a guy that worked at the rental
guy
car
that was
place.
Like working. I guess he had some sort of business dealing at some point with Davey
telling
Johnson.
That story.
And he said he thought he was the worst guy on the planet. I was like, I'm the same Davey Johnson that we've met. It's been nothing but nice and cool to us.
He was great to us.
He was great.
You just don't want to go into business with the guy. I don't know.
All right, last
kind of weird.
Last but not least, Cakes. We talked about this yesterday. It's so funny. The Ravens have cut Justin Tucker.
Said bye-bye.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird that he was still in their building, working out.
Yeah, they had to do it.
And we talked about how they drafted the Tyler Loop kid out of Arizona. And we said it was kind of strange.
Listen,
we also said it's possible that they drafted this kid because Tucker struggled last year.
Of course that factored in.
That factored in, but the reason they cut him now is because of what happened off the field.
Yeah. And somebody actually was mocking me and said, you don't think it was because he, you know, kicked 75%? I said, that was definitely a factor.
It certainly weighs in, but
believe me, it was a factor.
The bigger factor was all of the allegations about inappropriate behavior at massage parlors around the greater Baltimore area.
And then the guy
area.
Tells me, I had actually forgotten about the allegation. How could you forget about allegations?
The guy that you were talking to.
The guy that was
forgotten?
People giving me grief all the time. This guy giving me grief about that, about my hot take that right or wrong, it's something that the Ravens had to do, and hopefully he's proven innocent. But at this point, they just have to move on.
Correct.
And let the situation
play
out.
And they had to say it was a football reason. Otherwise, like, the CBA is going to get involved.
Right. So did they actually say that publicly?
Yes, they called it a football decision.
Just a football decision. 99% of it was because of what's going on off the field.
Yes.
Right.
All right, we touched on the reporting of it yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, it became official. The NFL draft for 2027 is heading to Washington, D.C., We'll have the details and audio from the press conference when we come back. You can always text the Junks on the Junkies text line, brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955. By my math, that's 70 years. Can somebody fact check that? I think that's 70 years. Serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads, Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. Text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. So you can text us throughout the show. We wanted to get to the announcement yesterday that was made right around 11 a.m. at the White House that the NFL Draft 2027 will be coming to Washington, D.C. Here is President Trump announcing that the NFL Draft is coming in 2 years.
I'm pleased to reveal that the 2027 NFL Draft, that's a big thing, will be held right here in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, and you get a little glimpse of it.
Don't recall a president ever announcing that an NFL draft is coming to a certain city or town in the country, so that's pretty cool. The president hosts the press conference at the White House. Both Mayor Bowser and, of course, Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, present for the announcement.
It was so weird watching them. Because the media was asking questions outside of the NFL draft. So asking political questions, asking about Alcatraz.
You have to just stand
and
there.
And Goodell just kind of standing right behind him, listening to the answers. It was very strange.
Is it? Am I crazy or has Roger Goodell lost a decent amount of weight?
I think he has.
He looks pretty light.
I agree.
Yeah. Guys all looked good. They gave him a Commanders jersey. I was like, what are you doing? You're giving him a Chris Cooley jersey. Wasn't Cooley a 47?
He was 47.
Why are you giving him Chris Cooley's jersey? very cool. And, you know, we talked about it, of course, yesterday. I think it's great for the city. What a complete 180 turnaround. I don't want to belabor all the points from yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you have more audio?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got Commanders owner Josh Harris. He's speaking here about what the NFL draft coming to D.C. means to him and to the region.
What a great day for Washington. I mean, to host the NFL draft in 2027 on the Mall, I believe we'll get over 1 million people, and it's going to be an amazing day, and it'll showcase what Washington's all about, but it'll also showcase what our country's all about. Washington is the gateway city to our country, and it'll be an amazing day, and we can't wait to get started. And I couldn't have done it without my partners, Roger Goodell, thank you, and Mayor Muriel Bowser. And we're ready to get to work, and I can't imagine RFK coming back. I grew up here. DC used to stop on Sundays, and everyone would be inside watching football, or everyone would be glued at the stadium. And so we want to bring that back. And football really is as existential to the culture of America. We all love it. We all watch it. And it brings people together. And so what a great way to celebrate the United States of America, the NFL, and the Washington Commanders.
So that's Josh Harris talking about the NFL draft coming to Washington, D.C. Again, this is something that never would have happened if Dan Snyder was still the owner of the Washington franchise.
It's just a total 180 on the complete perception of the team, to the point that I don't know if Drab saw this. I don't see it on the outline. We haven't discussed it. We could probably even dedicate a segment to it later if we want. But Alex Smith went and had some crazy praise for Jaden on a podcast he did recently. He did, is it his own podcast, that one I talked about? Sports Seriously, where I think he's actually I'm huge on Jaden Daniels. I've put Jaden Daniels in the Hall of Fame already. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the first in the world. Okay, I take pride in that. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's not Hall of Fame worthy yet, but he's going to have a Hall of Fame career unless he gets hurt. He says, we've never seen the likes of, you know, he's the greatest rookie season. This is where I think maybe he gets ahead of his skis. Maybe in American sports history. And when you watch the tape, there was nothing fluky about it. I mean, this guy's so fundamental. He could beat you in so many ways, most of all from the pocket. I think looking forward, I think that's going to be there. They're not going anywhere. And you combine it with his ability to run, and he just goes on and on. His clutch gene. Jaden Daniels is setting the foundation. And with what Harris is doing, we're going to have good news like this for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sustainable. The Commanders, as long as he stays healthy and they keep building the team around him, they should be a playoff contender for a decade, if not more.
Yeah. It's just a complete turnaround for the city.
It's fantastic.
But getting back to what Harris said about the expectations of the NFL draft, mm-hmm. and the people coming out, and he said he expects 1 million people over the course of 3 days.
Right.
I said that yesterday, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's in Pittsburgh next year, and Pittsburgh is obviously a huge football city.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect Pittsburgh to eclipse what the Green Bay Packers.
Pittsburgh is a great sports town.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what Green Bay had in terms of the fans. And I think that Washington will be more than what Pittsburgh has.
Yeah,
I think Pittsburgh could be in that, 800,000 range. Mm-hmm. But I think Washington, with all of the landscape, right, and all the monuments, mm-hmm. all the tourists, I think they're going to have around 1 million
people.
Well,
just also the sheer population size around here,
yeah,
and near here. We should
I think
be
it's
able
gonna
to
be about a million people.
Almost anybody.
I think it's going to be about 1 million people, which is crazy.
It's going to be an absurd scene on the mall,
yep,
as it happens. I mean, if you have, say, for day one, I mean, you could have 400,000 people down there on the first day, maybe more. I mean, it's going to be a massive spectacle.
I think it's going to be a ton. There's going to be a huge buildup to it. You know, God willing, we're all still here and breathing on the mm-hmm. right side of the earth.
Let's hope that's the case.
I'm sure we'll be involved on some level and in our own way.
Need to work on that motorcade. I'm greasing the skids on that early.
What is this again?
Police escort right down to the stage.
So that we can make sure it's not difficult for us to get there?
Correct.
I mean, we could walk there.
I'm worried about the traffic. Jason's already worried about the draft going late, like 2 hours, 2 years out.
Didn't we
me
walk into like the Caps parade? One of them I think we walked to. Do you remember that?
We walked to the Caps parade for sure.
Yeah.
So
we walked to it from here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that far, buddy.
Not that far.
Don't worry. You might not need a police escort.
The Caps.
He's already 2 years out panicking.
I know. The Caps parade, probably the drunkest I've been in the last.
Probably why you don't remember.
Probably in the last decade.
I don't think.
Yeah, I had a good time at Clyde's.
It's like half a mile.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's like right by here, Cakes.
I panic about these things. We all know this. All right, let's listen up here.
Somebody's asking for a police escort.
Well, Jason was already worried about staying up late.
Yeah, everybody
well, I might just
tizzy.
Take. I might
this
just
NFL
take. The,
draft has got
I'm going to take the next day off.
It's got us verklempt, this NFL draft. Let's listen to Mayor Bowser, her clip here.
We are delighted to be here, with the Washington Commanders, the NFL, and the president to talk about this very exciting announcement for Washington, D.C. We believe in investing in sports because they have helped us transform neighborhoods, and the NFL bringing this event to the nation's capital will help us fill hotel rooms, our restaurants, and Americans from all 50 states will come to their nation's capital and enjoy our beautiful city and museum. So we're just delighted to be here, and we want to thank everybody for all the hard work to get here.
That's Mayor Muriel Bowser talking about the announcement official yesterday that the NFL draft will be in Washington, D.C., in 2027, just 2 years from now. That will be here on the mall.
It'll be
in
here before
DC.
You know it.
All right, we want to get the pulse of Caps fans next. 800-636-1067. How are you feeling heading into the second round? This is a massive playoff series for the Caps. Their first playoff win in 7 years was against Montreal. Can they do the same with the Carolina Hurricanes in town for the Eastern Conference semis? They drop the puck tonight at Capital One Arena. We'll take your calls on the series next at 800-636-1067.